Good afternoon. This is Sam Brooks, your host, and welcome to Local Matter Sports. Today I have the privilege of talking to Matt Eldridge, former football coach in the region. We're going to talk about several of the places that he's been and now director of schools at Clay County and also former Tennessee Tech football player. So got a lot to talk about, Matt, but welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here, Sam. Anytime, come talk to local people and everything. It's great. Love coming, being with you.
It's awesome, you know, having somebody from up the road a little bit. A lot of folks that we've had kind of centered around Tennessee Tech and maybe from other areas, but it's great to have somebody from Clay County here. We draw some of that audience in, and I'm sure they're going to love to listen to this and learn more about their director of schools. But we're going to dive right in. I want to talk about growing up. Tell me a little bit about growing up and what it was like to be a young Matt Eldridge.
Well, grew up in Overton County, little rural area, Hillham, Tennessee. That's where I'm from. I'm not from Livingston. I'm from Hillham. Grew up out there, very rural area. My family, father, mother, and I had a twin brother, and I've got an older brother. He lived here in Cookeville for years, but that was the five of us, lived there, and pretty much that's where we stayed. You know, we went to school, came home, and had a little farm, and that was it.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I actually understand what you're saying about Hillham. I actually was born in Overton County and not Livingston, a Hawkeye. You know, I guess that is Livingston, but I was awoken a lot of mornings and my dad come into my room, turning my light and chanting the Hogeye. So I learned that at a very young age. And it is, you know, Livingston, Overton County is separated into those sections and sometimes, especially in the younger grades, very competitive areas.
Very competitive. And I know, Sam, your in-laws are actually from Overton County, and father-in-law probably was one of the leading scorer and leading point guards in at Livingston Academy for years.
Yeah, we're talking about Randall Stoops.
That's exactly right.
If you want to know how good he was, just ask him.
But he was. I mean, he goes down as one of the best ever up there.
Yeah, Randall was a good one, and a lot of great folk from Overton County. And you had the opportunity to come to Tennessee Tech from playing at Livingston. I guess it was Livingston Academy at that time.
Yes, it was.
Is that right? So Livingston Academy to Tennessee Tech. And at what point, Matt, going through high school, I know you played basketball too and was a big basketball player. You had some great teammates that you played with at that time as you grew up. A lot of really good athletes that come from that time frame when you were there. When did you know that football was going to be it for you?
Probably about my junior year, we had a pretty good season, and I think we started throwing the ball a little bit, and it was more fun at that point than just blocking and tackling all the time, which we like that. But as a tight end, you'd like to catch the ball, you know, as you did, Sam, and enjoyed that quite a bit. And I started getting noticed a little bit about that time, and we had several players that did. And at that time, the ball wasn't thrown that much, and we had – actually wound up winning a couple big games down toward Nashville and beat BGA, and I think they were ranked 5 in the state, and we weren't, upset them, had a couple big games, and started getting recruited, and I kind of liked it at that point. I liked it, always had liked it, but, you know, if you get noticed a little bit, you get a little bit more prestige. I mean, you start liking something. So right. That's probably when I thought if I had the opportunity, I would get to go play. I would do it.
So throw me out some names that you played with there at Livingston Academy at that time.
Well, we were pretty fortunate. I think we had a few athletes that went and played college athletics from that point. And I'll just tell you a few that I got to play with. My twin brother, he'd signed a basketball scholarship. Jeff Hummel, he had signed a basketball scholarship. My twin brother had also played football, Danny McCoy. He'd signed a football scholarship at that time. So we had several. And Tim Vaughn, he'd came down at Tech and played down here a few years. So we had four or five kids. Dale Flatt migrated. So we had probably 7, 8 kids in that year or two time frame that got to go play athletics. And at a smaller school, Livingston's, at that time we had 600-700 students, and when you've got 6 or 7 kids on any team, you know, that's athletic enough to play college ball, you can have a pretty good squad.
Matt, that's some pretty athletic names right there. When you throw out Danny McCoy, your brother, he's gone on and done some great things in basketball. How did you guys get to that level of being such great athletes? I know it probably comes from being in a small community and growing up together.
Well, Sam, it's no different than you were. I mean, if during the summer, if there was a ball out there and that's what you did, you found something to play or do. Nobody had to open the gym for you. And that's about the same with us. You know, whether we were going over at Standing Stone Park to go swimming part of the morning, they had basketball goals and tennis courts. And one day you might be playing basketball and the afternoon playing tennis or playing ping pong. So you found something to do. And, you know, through repetitions, it'll make you become better hand-eye coordination, better footwork, all that.
We're talking to Matt Eldridge, former football coach and high school ranks and former football player at Tennessee Tech and director of schools right now at Clay County. So I want to touch on one thing as we continue our conversation. You guys I've seen several times because I played at Cookeville and followed you guys. I guess I started Tennessee Tech the year that after you graduated. And then we got into the coaching ranks together. But, you know, Bruce Lamb and some of these others, a smaller school in Livingston and the surrounding counties. I've heard the stories at times when you play a bigger school mm-hmm. like Cookeville. How do you use that to motivate your players?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we all can stretch the truth a little when you're playing it up to your kids, you know. And I remember playing, I think, my senior year, we played Cookeville, and they beat us, I think. They were up a touchdown in the last play. I think John Edgington had sacked Danny in the end zone. They recovered the ball, beat us 2 scores on the scoreboard. But, of course, going in, it's the same way. You know, these guys don't respect you. You know, you little bitty town, they don't – you know, they've got more things than you. That's what a lot is always played up. We were fortunate in basketball. I think we came out on top a little bit more in basketball than Cookeville, but they had great teams too. But it's always played up that way. Whether it's ever needed to, I doubt it. But the coaches always seem they have – that's what they played up to us at least. When we would play them, when I was at Livingston, we didn't play that. We just tried to let them go in, think it's another game. Here's what we want to do. Here's what they want to do. So I think maybe now it's not done as much as it used to be done, but it was done that way a lot.
Well, now, you know, the rivalries have always got a lot to do with that. And you know, I know White County, where you coached also, and Cookeville has always been a big rivalry. And I think it gets played up probably a little bit more in those situations, too.
It does. And I tell you what, Sam, the thing is, of those rivals, and I'm going to say a little before you, when Rickman had a high school in Livingston, if you had any idea how good of friends you would have came out with those people, you would have never been as hard of rivals, because you wind up becoming friends later in life, where sometimes the coaches used to want you to have a little animosity against them, which you don't. I mean, you grow up and you're good friends with them and respect what they've done and talk about the times you played against each other.
Exactly, Matt. So let's trace, you came to Tennessee Tech, you played tight end, you ended up wanting to be a coach and kind of give some back to the local talent around this area. And I believe your first job out of college was coaching at Smith County High School. Is that correct?
Well, I went to Macon County for 4 years. I was up there for 4 years, and that's actually where I met my wife. She was in college up there at the time. So
I did not know that.
I was up there for 4 years, left there, went to Smith County, and got to coach with Sam, as you know, there. I was there 4 years, left Smith County, took my first head coaching job at White County. I was there for 2 years. Then I left there and took the head coaching job at Livingston Academy, I think in about 97, I think it was, and finished up coaching there in 2005 season.
Well, and along the way, had some great teams, great memories. We definitely had a great time at Smith County High School. That was my first coaching job down there with you guys and Jeff Arnett and Pat Dyer and Dickie Fulton and Huff Hines and all them guys. It was a great year for me, great experience before I went on back to Cookeville and started coaching down there. But along the way, some great seasons for you, culminating, I guess, in 2005 with a state championship in Livingston Academy. Is the year right there?
That's right, 2005. That's it. And we did. I mean, we'd had good years up to that point. And that was the first year I think they'd moved us east. We'd kind of been in the down toward Nashville region, and they called and said, asked Coach, what region do you want to be in? I said, well, we're used to going toward Nashville. We'd just as soon stay. And, of course, they put us opposite way, which that's okay. And it probably actually toughened us up, because not that the other district wasn't tough, because Portland and White House had both won state championships, but the entire district down toward Knoxville, I mean, it seemed like every week there was not an off week, and we had wound up, I mean, we had a great year, and I think we were 5-5 through the year, and I think the most we lost any game by was 5 or 6 points. So it wasn't like we were getting blown out. It was just, they were good and we were pretty good too. And they came out and it taught us to play up tempo, practice up tempo. And when we hit the playoffs, you know, we played two of the teams again that had beat us and we beat them this time. It just taught us to play a little more up tempo for the entire game, I'll say.
Now you're going to downplay it, but that was a phenomenal season. And I got to know, how does it feel to end that season with the gold ball in the state championship and kind of see those people who are around your program that have said that could never be done? Livingston Academy could never do that. You don't have the athletes. You don't have the coaches. That had to be just a great feeling to be able to go through that playoff run, being 5-5 when you went into it, and then ending with a gold ball to put on the wall at Livingston Academy.
And it did. I mean, we ended the year, and we try to always tell the kids, we would try to say our goal is to make the playoffs. Once you get the playoffs, it's a new season. It doesn't matter what the record is. It doesn't matter. Of course, it can seed you to where you go through a different and a harder bracket. But we ended up 5-5 and scraped into the playoffs and had two other teams that could have gone. And we wound up, I guess a lot of people thought we'd play a round or two and get beat, but we wound up and went right back through to, I think we played three number one teams going in to the state championship. And then David Lipscomb was number one in their district. So, and along the way, I mean, Harrison Smith, he played over at Knoxville Catholic, and y'all see him. He's all pro. You know, we played against him. Dennis Rogan he played for UT. He's in the pros. And we played against a lot of great players that had more speed than us, but I guess the secret is, and Sam, you know this, it's not what we think we can do, it's what the kids think they can do. And
right,
all we would tell them to do is just hold on and, you know, do your best and be in the game at the end, and that's what they were.
Today we're talking to Matt Eldridge, Livingston Academy native, director of schools at Clay County. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're talking to Matt Eldridge today. We're going to continue our conversation, and we're talking about football at Livingston Academy and the state championship that they were able to bring to Livingston at that time. An incredible season. And I know, Matt, because I was at every game except the third game in the playoffs you played away, and I wasn't able to go to that one. But it was definitely a magical season to watch from my perspective, and kind of be a part of that from the fan side and watch you guys and what you did. And a lot of great names from that time. And one that sticks out in my mind is actually, I think, a doctor here still right now, Wilson Cates. Incredible quarterback that led the team for you.
And he wasn't. You know, the thing is, he practiced it such a hard, up-tempo and hard. The rest of the kids practiced with him. And, I mean, that was from when they were all freshmen on. So, you know, they made themselves better each day. They didn't drag, even though there's days you want to. They forced themselves to pick it up and play. And, you know, I'll say this, all those kids did such a great job. And I guess, as you know, Sam, some of the neatest things about it, you watch them doing things that they didn't even think they could do, or maybe
right,
you didn't think they could do. And I'll use this when Coach Raglan, which I love Coach Raglan just like you did, and I remember we came down to Tennessee Tech to practice on the turf the week before we were going to Middle to play. We came down and Coach said, yeah, come on down and practice on this, Matt, and y'all need to. And Coach Raglan, only as Coach Raglan could do, you know, we got out there and we got off the bus and, you know, we're lined up. Before the kids got off, Coach Raglan said, hey, now let me tell you something, Matt Eldridge, hey, you guys use this any day you need to, as long as you need to turn those lights on. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. And I said, well, Coach, I appreciate it. He said, are they getting off the bus right now? I said, yes, sir. I said, you're welcome to stay out here on the field with us. You see one of any pointers? He said, hey, I'd like to see these boys now, Matt. Hey, they got to be pretty good to be going to state championship. And I said, I appreciate that, Coach. And they got off, and we weren't the biggest team in the world. He goes, is this all of them, Matt? I said, yeah, Coach, it is. And he just kind of walked off. I don't know if Coach even thought we was going to win. But anyway, Coach, he said, boy, y'all have done – just bragging on us, and only this coach could do and make you feel good. But I could see in his face, and we weren't that big. But we ran option, which, as you guys know, in coaching world and the coaching profession, that, knowing T and a couple things, are supposed to be the great equalizer, and it does. But we had kids that played so hard, and I think you've got a Massengale down here that sells insurance right now. He was our left tackle for us, and he probably weighed 175 pounds and had no idea he shouldn't be able to block the kids he was blocking. But the kids, I say, overachieved. I'd take them every year, and I've had people say, is that the best team you ever had? I don't know, but they peaked at the right moment. I'll just say that, because had a lot of great players and a lot of great teams, and I see them today, and I don't guess I could rank them, but that bunch achieved the way you ask them to at the right time. And, you know, people, I guess you have to have everything go perfect for you to win it, and I guess we did. Everything fell into place at the right time.
Well, it does, and you know, if there's one team that gets what they want, and everybody else is kind
of—that's right.
You know, it's like Ricky Bobby said: if you're not first, you're last. So, you know, definitely feel that way. I'm sure everybody does, except the one that wins it. But just a great group, no doubt, and that led you into a situation. I think you coached maybe a couple years after that, and then you decided to get into education administration. What was the reason for that move from coaching into that?
Well, I'll tell you this, and as you, I think you'd said, I want to say this, but I had such good staff with me, and I've got, you know, Grant Swalls played at Tech. He's the principal down at White County. Danny McCoy, he's been head coach, played in the pro ranks a year. He's been around football his whole life. Bruce Lamb, the head coach at Livingston Academy now, takes him to the playoffs every year. Dale Flatt works up there. He's a principal at Allen's Elementary. David Klaus is going to be one of the administrators up there. So I'm looking at six or seven guys, and every one of them in leadership roles right now, that tells you they all had something that they could do, something they offered. Bob Gore, he's an administrative faculty at one of the schools in Livingston. So they all were leaders in their own mind. And the hardest thing, coaches, you know, we could all sit down and talk football, and we can both be right and not agree totally. And that's the thing. They were such a good group. Even though we all had our own opinions, we could narrow it down, agree, and then whatever we agreed on, we went with it, even if it wasn't 100% what any of us wanted. And I think that's what made us go as a staff. And even if you don't have total agreement, the kids never see that. But after that point, actually, I got up that morning. It was my 20th year coaching. Everybody gets up that July, and the first day, you know what it's like. You're up at 5 o'clock that morning getting ready. And I got up and told my wife, I said, "This is it. I'm done." "What do you mean?" I said, "It's my 20th year, and I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to help be around my kids as they get older." And that was, I had the plans that year of getting out, and I had moved up. I was assistant principal to high school for about 3 or 4 years. And after that, I had been asked to move up. And I did the attendance. I was a county truant officer, attendance officer, and went over and worked at the central office, I think, 3 or 4 years there. After that, I was the director 3 or 4 years there. And actually, wanted to slow down a little bit after I got out, after my contract was gone at Livingston. And I went to Clay County and as assistant principal. And then they asked me after Mr. Strong got out if I would take that on. So that's how I've stepped into it. But Sam, as you know, and you're in that leadership role, in Putnam County, a lot of times I think there's a little building in leadership through coaching, because you have to learn to work with a lot of different personalities when they're not always happy. And I'm talking about from the players to the parents to the fans to everyone else. So you learn to talk to people and be respectful of them, and if not, you'll be humbled really fast.
Well, that's the truth. And I agree with you. There's a lot of folks that and it's no—I guess it's no surprise you see a lot of coaches in those administrative roles in the school setting, because it does serve a purpose. And when you're able to lead a team and be involved in many different people, and like you said, reaching that creative agreement, no matter where they come from and what their opinions are, being able to relay that message in a way that's okay with everybody is a unique art form. And today we're talking with Matt Eldridge, and we're going to continue that conversation. Matt, let's get into a little bit what your future holds as far as, you know, you're Clay County now. What might you want to do in the future?
Well, right now, I'll tell you what, we're very fortunate. We've got a small school district. We've got about 1,045 students in pre-K through 12, and I'm going to use Sam and Putnam County. I'll use Cookeville High School has more in their graduating senior class, probably 500 roughly. We've got 240 in our whole school. So that's the difference. It's a small district. Two, three kids make a difference for us. I'm talking about whether it's a dropout rate, whether it's a, and we've been fortunate to have good graduation rates. We've also we've had our high school for the last 2 years have been rewards. This past year, we've been exemplary districts. So we're making strides. We needed to. And, not me. It's the teachers doing it. It's kids working hard. Right now, you know, I'm focused on Clay County Schools, and man, it's a great town. It's a great little district. They want to be the best they can be in anything. And just like Sam, I keep referring back to you, but you're doing the same stuff I'm doing. I'm still coaching. I'm just not coaching football anymore. I'm coaching academics just like you are. You're doing the same thing. You're still coaching. It's just maybe not as much sports as you once did. It's still coaching for us because we all, as coaches, we all want to win, and I want to be the best we can be, as you want to be the best you can be in the academics you teach. So right. I think that's a lot what we push for right now.
A lot of people in the state of Tennessee, a lot of students across the state of Tennessee don't have some of the options that you have. And one that sticks out with both involved in is the opportunity for these college classes while these kids are still in high school to promote the awareness of what it takes to be a college student. And, you know, when you and I were in school, man, we didn't have those options.
Not at all.
You know, here's Sam Brooks, you're in ninth grade, here's your schedule, go to class.
That's right.
You know, that's kind of changing for the better for these kids. Talk about that just a little bit.
Well, you know, right now I'll use this. A lot of times right now, if these kids come in the right way and they look at their schedule, them and their parents, and they get the direction they want to go, they can oftentimes end up and finish up their senior year and may have close to their first year of college complete or three quarters of it. And you talking about a big savings, and that's going to be a savings for them by taking the dual credit. And what opportunities that gives those kids, because it lets them go into college, I think, with a leg up on everyone else. And they've already experienced what college courses are like. They've had to, and this, as you said, this gives them an opportunity, I think, to get a leg up on what me and you didn't. We weren't given this opportunity, and it also lets them maybe see which path they want to choose once they're in college.
We got about a minute left, man. I want to touch on real quick Tennessee Tech football. Coach A would get on us if we didn't talk about this coming year. What's your thoughts on the hiring of Coach Alexander and Tennessee Tech going into this year?
I'm so excited about it. As my wife and saw many of you guys at the scrimmage the other night, my wife had seen Dwayne and said, this is excited as Matt's been about Tennessee Tech football in years. And it is. And it felt so good to stand out there on the field and feel a part. And he wants you to feel wanted. And he said, Matt, and this is what Coach said. He said, I want somebody to be driving down the interstate that played here and just whip that car off the exit and say, you know what, I'm going to pull over and see what Tennessee Tech football's doing today. And, you know, that's as welcoming as you can ask for. And I look forward, and it's been a few years since I've been to a game. I'm going to probably be at all of them again. I'm going to probably be at all of them, every home game. And, you know, getting older, if I retire, I'll probably be on the road with them. I'm excited about it. Still, I'm proud. I wouldn't trade playing Tennessee Tech football for nothing. Big part of my life and big part of who I am, just like it is you, Sam, and a lot of the guys we saw the other night.
Well, when you get to that game, you remember I'm up in the press box. You come on up there and sit with me. We'll do an interview up there. But, Matt, it's been awesome talking to you today, man. Brings back a lot of old memories. We spent some time together, and I appreciate you taking the time to drive down here and spend the afternoon with us. Appreciate it.
Always glad to. Thank you very much.